Greetings, everybody. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. Once again, you've joined Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Thank you once again for choosing to spend the next 30 minutes with us. It is our hope and prayer that God will speak to you as he does to us here in this ministry as we prepare and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've been with us, we have been going through a series entitled The Pursuit of Christ. Essentially, the series is a series of studies into certain principles that are essential if we are going to successfully pursue Christ. We've said it's not an exhaustive list of principles, but it is an important list of principles that should be part of who we are, what we are, and how we live in terms of our pursuit of Christ. For the last 3 weeks, we have been looking at the principle of sharing. This will be part four, the final message within the principle of sharing. So this will end the principle, and then next week we will start a new principle within the series. Again, the principle of sharing. In the last 3 weeks, we've talked about the need for sharing Christ, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Last week, we talked about the reasons as to why we ought to share or tell others about Christ. Again, none of these reasons that we've covered are exhaustive lists, but they are some of the reasons as to why the Bible says we ought to be a people who share with others our faith. Today, as we close this principle, we'll be talking about the reason, not the reason, but how to tell others about Christ. So first we talked about the need for sharing Christ, then we talked about the reasons for sharing Christ, and today we'll talk about how to share Christ. Now there's two essential ways, two central ways in which we can share Christ with others. First of all, we can speak the gospel. Secondly, we live the gospel. We want to spend a little bit of time, first of all, looking at how to share the gospel of Christ audibly with others. The first passage I want to look at, and we're going to be jumping from passage to passage here. It's not one central passage. It's just we're going to look at a number of passages. The first one is in Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at verses 37 and 38. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. And this is what the gospel says. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." First of all, I want to talk about the urgency of sharing Christ with others. Listen, these are the words of Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, but listen, but the workers are few. How do you think it feels to Christ to know that millions and millions of people living on planet Earth today are Christians? And yet he has to tell us that we must pray for workers because the workers are few. And, you know, there's no, I'm not quoting any one study here because this is purely speculative on my part. But my own experience has shown me through the various churches that I've been a part of and the various ministries that I've been a part of over the years, and I've been a Christian for over 20 years, experience has taught me that most people who go to church, even though they are in a personal relationship with Christ, do not serve Christ as he has commanded them to do. They come to church, they listen to the preacher, they throw their tithe into the bucket, if they do. They might attend midweek meeting. They might not. They might read the Bible throughout the week. They might not. They might pray. They might not. But since there is little desire on their part to know more and more about the God who saved them, certainly by default, there's going to be lesser and lesser desire on their part to share that God they're not learning about. And you know what? I've talked to a lot of people over the years. And a lot of people tell me that the reason they don't witness to others, they don't share their faith with others, is because they feel inadequate doing so. They often tell me that they don't know what to say if they were to share Jesus with others. As if somehow somebody convinced them that they were supposed to have a Bible degree or some kind of certification or a seminary degree or have a title before or after their name that equipped them to do so. And the truth of the matter is, they're absolutely right. People are intimidated about sharing their faith. You know why? Not because they don't have what it takes to do it, but simply because they really don't know their faith. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to sit here and discuss aeronautical engineering with you because I have no clue about the subject. I'm not going to hold a conference on marine biology if I've never even studied the subject. What would I say? Well, it's the same with Christians. Listen, people don't study this book. People don't pray. They go to church, and half the time they're there for themselves, not to bring glory to God and worship Him. And in many respects, they're clueless about the faith. As a matter of fact, I say this unapologetically. The truth of the matter is that in this country, the U.S. church, the American church, is suffering a crisis unlike any other in its own history. And you know what we call that crisis? Illiteracy. People, even those who have been in the church for many years, do not know what they believe, why they believe it. That is why they don't share their faith with others. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus said, listen, you don't have to have a PhD in theology to share me with others. Just obey me. Do what I ask of you to do. Learn more about me. Foster that passion and desire within you. And I will make you a fisher of men. All I want you to do is make yourself available so I can use you. And so the Spirit can use you in communicating the message that He uses to convict and bring to repentance. There is a sense of urgency here, folks. Jesus is saying that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And if you were with us the last few weeks, you remember that I said that one of the reasons why we should be telling others about Christ is because we will give Him an answer as to why we did not share Him with others at the judgment seat of Christ. And listen, if it boils down to anything, I think the real work Christ would want us all to be involved in is the work of sharing Him with others. Because we are the church. We are the representatives of the kingdom of God. We are His ambassadors. We are the vessels, the chosen vessels of God that He uses to reach the world. If we do not do it, who will? So God says, pray. Pray. For the workers are few. Let me ask you something. It says here in verse 38, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Let me ask you something. Honestly, honestly. There's no sense if we're going to stand here and pretend something and not be sincere about it. You know, we can fool each other, but we can't fool God at the end of the day. If I were to pray for the Lord to provide more workers to go out into the harvest field. Would God be able to answer my prayer by sending you out? Would you, Christian, be the one God uses to answer my prayer for sending more workers out into the harvest field? Are you going to be one of those that God uses to answer the prayers of those who are asking the Lord of the harvest for more workers? God has commanded you to do that work. He's given you the ministry of reconciliation, as we saw last week. I want to now shift to Matthew chapter 28. We've talked a little bit about the urgency of sharing Christ with others. The harvest is full. The harvest is full. Now I want to talk a little bit about the command to speak or share Christ with others. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. You know this passage well. It's known as the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, listen, to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Here's the command. And if you notice, he's speaking to every single one of us. The command of the Great Commission is a command given to all Christians. God has charged me as he has charged you, if you're a Christian, to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. And it doesn't stop there. He's also commanded me and you, Christian, to teach others to obey his commandments. There's the command to speak the good news, to speak the message, the essential gospel. Another text we can look at that would support this passage is Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And verse 8. Act 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And let's stop there for a minute. You know when the Holy Spirit came on you? And you know when the Holy Spirit came in you? The moment you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit. So it's not a question as to whether you have the Spirit or not. It's not a question as to whether you're anointed or you have been vexed by the Spirit. It's not a question as to whether you have been, you know. If you are a Christian, you have the Spirit. And this is what it says. But you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Not you might be. Not you should be. Not I hope you will be. You will be my witnesses. Not only in your neighborhood, but in the next county, and you will be my witness in the next state, and in the next country, and in the next continent. In fact, to the very end of the earth. Listen, there's a sense of urgency here. The command is clear. What are we doing to make sure we execute on that command? We need to speak the gospel. But let me tell you this. let's do the church a favor. And I include myself in this request. Let's all do the church a favor. If we don't intend to live the gospel, let's not share it, please. The gospel, what you say to others, is only as real as the evidence you give for the truthfulness of that statement through your life. If you are not willing to live out your faith, if you are not willing to let Jesus become more and you less so that the world, as they see you, they see him. If you're not willing to do that, do not tell others you're a Christian. Do the church and the kingdom a favor. In fact, I really believe that we actually earn the right to share audibly, verbally, the gospel of Jesus once we have demonstrated to others that we are genuine in living what we preach. I know that in many cases, a lot of people use the excuse for the reason they don't go to church because of the hypocrisy of many who claim to be Christians. It's an excuse in many respects. They can easily get out of going to church by saying, listen, church is full of hypocrites. But let me tell you something, folks. There are people who honestly will not come to church because they've seen you and me. And they don't want to belong to something you and I belong to. If we are not willing to live our faith out, we have not earned a right to be heard regarding that faith. And I'll go as far as to say this. I mean, you know, if you're not living your faith out, you know, because there's people who talk about Christianity who are not Christians. As a matter of fact, do you know this? There's a lot of preachers out there, reverends, who are in the religion business, who are just as in much need of salvation as the people they claim to be hoping to reach with the so-called gospel they're preaching. Just because people talk religion doesn't mean they have a personal relationship with Jesus. In fact, if you come across somebody who claims to be a Christian, yet his lifestyle denounces everything he claims to be, I would be willing to say that in some cases, these people who claim to be Christians don't know Jesus. That's why they can't live out the faith. It amazes me when I go to Christian conferences, particularly conferences that are set up for pastors to attend. It amazes me when I go to these pastors' conferences and see how many pastors are saved during those conferences. It mind boggles me that these people have been preaching in churches for years, yet have never been personally related to Jesus. And just now have they come into faith. There's a lot of people out there, folks, who claim to be Christians or claim to speak for Christ, but they can't live the faith because they're not in the faith. But if you want to be able to listen, if you want people to listen to you, you got to earn the right to be listened to. And the only way you're going to earn the right to be listened to as a Christian is by living the faith. Listen, if you belong to a faith that says you ought not to be stealing, then quit stealing. If you're a Christian, quit cheating on your spouse. If you're a Christian, quit stealing from your employer. If you're a Christian, quit using profanity. If you're not going to stop those things, don't tell anybody you're a Christian. First of all, you may want to actually examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Chances are you're not. Let's look at a couple passages. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Listen to what Jesus says. In the same way, listen to this. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Listen, you know what Jesus is saying here? If you're telling people you're related to me, if you're telling people I saved you, then you need to make sure your life shines and your life reflects me, not you. You better make sure that if you're telling people that you're rightly related to me, you better make sure that the glory is coming to me because of the good works that you do, because of the Holy Spirit. Another passage, for example, we can look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Listen to what Paul said. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Listen. If you're going to speak for me, don't talk like a sailor. Speak wholesome words. Speak to others with words that will edify them, that will lead them to me. Speak to others with words of grace and mercy and love, words that will bring them to the foot of the cross, words that will allow the Spirit to convict them and cause them to seek, lead them to repentance and cause them to seek me as their Lord and Savior. Quit contradicting the message by the way you live, is what Jesus is saying and what Paul is saying and what the Bible says. Quit contradicting the message by the way you live. One more passage we can look at, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Well, I'll start in verse 14 for the context. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Listen, we've spoken of the need to tell, the reason for telling, and how to tell. Live it, speak it with conviction. Father, we thank you for this time. We give you all the honor and all the praise and glory, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, President of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, and your Bible teacher right here on Truth to Live By. I want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for joining us every week as we together study God's inspired and inerrant Word. I want to take this opportunity right now to invite those of you who have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to do so. All you have to do is repeat this simple prayer after me. Father, I understand and acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I understand that because of my sin, I am alienated from you. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that only through him can I be saved. I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would cleanse me and forgive me of all sin. Lord Jesus, right now I invite you to come into my heart and into my life and be my Lord. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, my friend, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that if you have prayed this prayer from the sincerity of your heart, you are now God's children. You have been given the free gift of eternal life, and your sins have been forgiven. And for those of you who have been listening to us and you are Christians, but you have been walking in a manner that is not consistent with the life that we are called to live as believers, this is the time that God has given you. This is the time in which God is calling you to recommit your life to him so that he may use you for his kingdom. I want to remind you that these programs can be ordered on CD. If you're ordering any of our programs, you need to send a written request and include in that written request the date on which you heard the program, the title of the program, if you happen to have that, and the call letters of the radio station on which you heard the program. I will be giving you our contact information at the end of the program. We do ask that you would include a suggested donation of $5 to help us with the cost of production, materials, and shipping and handling. I also want to remind everybody, this is a listener-supported ministry. The only way we stay on the air, continually proclaiming the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, is by the general contributions of listeners like you. Our entire budget is met by believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who believe that it is our mission to continue to carry out this work. I want to remind you also to invite your friends and family to join us each week as we continue this particular series entitled The Pursuit of Christ. Would you please contact us? You can write to us or send us an email. We have been very encouraged by many of the remarks that we have received by viewers and listeners to the radio and television program. God is truly ministering to them through this series. This is our contact information. If you want to send us an email, send it to truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. If you're writing to us to order any resources or programs, you can send your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227. And again, we want to thank you for joining us each week, and we certainly pray that you would continue to do so as we move through this particular series. Last item, I want to point you to our website, www.rffiministries.org. There you can find out a great deal about us and about our resources. God bless you, and we will see you next week.